praise God. So we're looking clearly at what's new about the new creation. What is new? And I trust for revelation. I trust for revelation. I trust for revelation. And I believe your faith is out also. I mean, that's why you're here. I trust for revelation. I trust for illumination. I trust that the eyes of understanding will be enlightened. That these verses in the Bible that up until now might have just been familiar. These verses in the Bible that up until now, you know, I know it. And just mental assent that they would become revelation. And then they would grant unto us transformation. I trust for this. I trust for it. And this is the will of God. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, it's the will of the Father that men are saved and that they come to the knowledge of the truth. So I welcome you to Word Up. All right. Last edition in the month of October 2021. And it will be like super awesome. So we're just going to jump straight in, okay? What's new about the new creation? The answer is one, and then we'll break it down to many things. So 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the 17th verse. All right, so are you ready? 2 Corinthians 5, 17. What's new? What's new about this new creation? So let's just see it together, read it together. Okay, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Glory to God. So I'm like, yeah, I guessed that before. I know you could have guessed it. I know, but it's not enough. This is one of the singular most important verses in the entire Bible. This verse here. This verse right here. I mean, I grew up, all right, in addition with Kenneth Hagin. I listened a lot to Kenneth Copeland, like I mentioned earlier, Pastor Chris Oyakhilome. I mean, you hear this man. I remember when it started dawning on me. When you hear this man say, this is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible, you're like, there's something here. There's something here. If they're saying it, there must be something here. All right? And they go, this is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. I'm like, And then I began to see it. He deals with habits. It deals with moods and personalities. It deals with stuff. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. You have to understand that if any man is in Christ, this man is a new creature. This man. The word new here is not the word refurbished, all right? The word new here is brand new. I know you know. I know you know it. I know. But then when we see the kinds of challenges we allow to affect us, we have to conclude that this verse has not dawned on us the way it should. Someone says, oh, I'm smoking, you know, let me even leave that. This very many times is where the argument lies between, okay, so you're born again, but you might still need deliverance and all of that. Oh, are there things that, yes, your body might, you know, you might have gotten involved with that seem to have kind of like a hold on you? You look around, the answer will be yes. But with this revelation, guys, with this singular revelation, the believer can walk out on the devil. I said it, I'll say it again. With the revelation of being new in Christ Jesus, the believer can walk out on the devil. You could say, Satan, bite the dust. As in, I'm a new creature. That hold you had on me, you can't have it on me anymore. So when we teach people this, because very many times we, you know, some ministries now like, okay, so we need to conduct some deliverance for you. Some of the things you got involved in, some of the covenants you might have made, and some of this, and then some of that. And then we're trying to do all that to the guy who is new. So the guy starts thinking that he carried certain things over. The lady starts thinking that she carried certain things over. But we need to allow them, encourage them, teach them, go meditate on 2 Corinthians 5, 17. We need to tell them, meditate on it. Meditate on it. You are brand new. Right? I'm still stuck on like the half part of it, all right? But once again, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Watch this now. Old things are passed away. Behold, and behold is like see, like whoa, whoa, watch, watch, look. Behold, all things are new. So what's new about the new creation? Everything. What's new about the new creation? Everything. Now, it's the truth, but for many minds, it might seem vague. Okay, so everything is new. So what is everything? All right, then we break it down. So what's new about the new creation? Everything is new. Everything is new. So what are the aspects? We'll look into them, all right? And then, but once again, oh, this verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, hallelujah, all things have been made new. Let's see, like NLT, we could do NLT, maybe Amplify Classic, and TPT. All right. You know, then NLT and Amplify Classic and then TTP. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ, guys, watch this, has become a new person. You, yes, you, that crazy guy down the street. Yes. Oh, but he's still smoking. He doesn't know. And that's a thing. All right. So if you drive a car rough or in a very like rough manner, and then you get a new car, you still drive it the same rough way, it might end up the same bad way. And then you wonder, oh, this car is not solid. It's not the car. It's the driver. All right? And then an illustration that I usually just like, you get a phone, and it's happened. Remember a number of years ago when I got this new Samsung phone, and it was really hyped, all right? So I got it. I needed it for ministry stuff, all right? I was, you know, posting and doing all stuff. Like, I need something like a machine. So it was a Samsung Note. I liked it. It was good. But then a friend came, you know, to visit. And then we got gist in and maybe looking at pictures. Oh, we have the same kind of phone, da, 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 da. But her pictures were way sharper than mine. I had to wonder. I mean, it was the same phone. So there was something I didn't get. There was something I needed to tweak. It was the same phone, the same Samsung Note, the same brand. She did stuff with it that I'm sure you might have seen that before. You're like, oh, but it's the same thing. All right. Or did I get the fake one or something? It's the same thing. So it's not that the product isn't new, but if the mind is not adjusted to the newness of the product, you will run a new product with the same old mind and you might get the same old result. So for most of us who are born again right now, we treat it like Jesus to come back again. So this means, all right, NLT, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. All right, could you say that with me like 5 times? All right, looking at the verse, all right. I have become a new person. I have become a new person. I have become a new person. Thank you, Lord. I have become a new person. I have become a new person. This is worthy of meditation. I'd rather than keep it till the end of the teaching. Let's just run it through as it's going on. Is that all right? I have become a new person. Then let's add the next part to it. The old life is gone. The new life is here. All right. I know you didn't just get born again. So yeah, but it's still okay. I have become a new person, or I am a new person. My old life is gone. My new life is here. I have become a new person. You could tweak this. It's just meditation. You could say my old life is gone. Or my old life left the moment I got born again. You understand what I'm saying? Just tweak it the way. Yeah, just tweak it. Old life is gone. New life began. My new life began the day I got born again. My new life began the day I accepted Christ. My new life began the day I confessed Jesus as my Lord. My new life began. My new life began. My old life is gone. My old life left. My old life. But it has to sink. It has to sink. You're a brand new person. Brand new person. So in the past life, there might have been defeat and fear and sickness, you know, and all kinds of insecurities and a lot of things happening to you in your past life. It was your past life. But the truth is, can these things happen again in the new life? Yes. And that's why even in the epistles, we have Paul writing, let him that stole steal no more. We have Paul saying, put your flesh under. We have Paul saying all of that. Who is he talking to? New creature. All right, so the new guy could live the old life when the mind is still thinking the old way. Did you get that? You might want to write it down. The new person could live the old life when the mind still thinks the old way, and when the body's allowed to run the old way, all right? But it's a new guy. So what do we need? We don't need to condemn the new guy. We need to throw light on the mind of a new guy. We need to let him know, hey, bro, hey, sister, you are new, and you have to focus on being new, all right? You have to focus on it. And you feel, oh, but, you know, she's just done stuff that are not forgivable. He's just done stuff that are not forgivable. Oh, you know, those guys are just crooks. Paul said, all right, writing to the Ephesian church. He's communicating, all right, the reality of God's word. I mean, don't let malice or evil speaking, don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Why was he telling them all of that? He was pointing those things out to them because they were new guys, but behaving the old way because the mind was, do you understand? The new guy will do the old thing because the mind is still doing the old thing. So if any man is in Christ, all right, he's a new creature. Let's see, amplify it now. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. The old life is gone. New life has begun. I'm a brand new creature. You're a brand new creature. This is revolutionary. Watch this. See amplified. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, isn't that beautiful? You remember agriculture? When you graft in, okay, so you want to blend two kinds of seed type or seed nature or seed DNA, you know, together. So you chip something out. And you graft this in, you bind it all up together, and there's a flow of life. Okay, and Jesus was, you know, Paul, anyway, by revelation of Jesus Christ, was explaining this, that we've been grafted in. So we're in Christ, all right. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is, watch this, oh, I love this, I love this. Are you reading with me? He is a new creation, a new creature altogether. Thank you, Lord. A new creature all together. He is a new creature all together. The old, previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Hallelujah. This is exciting. Oh, dear Lord. He is a new creation, a new creature all together. I know our minds, and that's where the issue usually is. Our minds are not wiped out, you know. Our memories are not wiped out. You still remember the song you sang before you went to church. You still remember the person who hurt you before you got born again. Nothing changes, you know, mentally, nothing changes physically. So we forget that everything has changed. We could stay on this verse, one verse, all through, but You cannot forget that everything has changed. This is fighting ground, all right? This is fighting ground, you know, because we have believers say, oh, I think God doesn't love me anymore. Why? I used to masturbate, and then I stopped it when I got born again. Then suddenly the thing is back. I believe God just hates me. I'm so evil in his sight. God sees a new creature, and God sees a new creature that has to renew his mind or her mind, all right? Because masturbation works both ways, all right? Male, female. God sees that. He sees a new creature who needs to renew his or her mind and put under the body. God is not thrilled when those things defeat us. He's not, oh God, this is defeating me. He's just so powerful. God knows that's not true. That's not true. Paul didn't say, let him that stole, let him go for deliverance. He said, let him that stole steal no more. It means he has the capacity to put away this thing, because the power of it has been broken. Do you understand that? Let's see Romans 6. We could read from maybe verse 1 to the 16th verse. Because you're a new creature altogether. You're a new, the moment, and I know you, we know this thing, but when Jesus resurrected, I resurrected with him. I want you to see one word there. So Romans chapter 6 from verse 1. Maybe the New King James. All right. You know, Romans 6, we'll pick it from the first verse, and then we'll run down to the 16th verse. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? People know the verse, but let's read it. All right. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So you have to understand verse 1 is talking about sin as a location. Let's see verse 1 again. I want you to see something here. Is so they're seen as a location. What shall we say then? Shall we continue? Notice it. In. Did you get in? In sin, in that location of sin, in that nature of sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2. Now, shows the revelation a lot more better. Certainly not. How shall we who died to, did you get that, sin live any longer in it? So there is nobody born again who is in it, because you're dead to it. You're not in it. You're not there. All right. Positionally speaking, you are in Christ, not in sin. You choose. Is it clear? Let's run to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and we'll run back here. Ephesians 2, 1. Just hold this thought. All right. In sin, to sin, and then we'll come back here. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Watch this. And you has he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. So we were, past tense, dead in trespasses and sin, but now he has made us alive. So choose one. Are you alive or dead in sin? Did you get that? Are you alive or dead in sin? You can't say, hey, but I'm alive, but I'm dead. No, you choose one. It's like when people say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Are you saved by grace or you're a sinner? But I get the point. The point is, I know I'm born again, but I sin. Yes. Doesn't make you a sinner. The context of sinner, all right, is nature. There is the action of sin. There's the nature of sin. So someone could lie and steal and cheat and do all stuff that have the action of sin, but they don't have the nature of sin. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Did you get that? If he is a new creature, then he has a new nature. Are you with me? If he's a new creature, he has a new nature. I'm sure you're getting this. If he is a new creature, then he has a new nature. And the old has gone. We'll see that better in that Romans 6, where we'll get it. The old has gone. The old nature has gone, all right? All you need to now do is put it off in your consciousness. And then the new has come. Old, gone, new, come, old, gone. Your old sinful life, gone. Old sinful nature, gone. Habits might be present, nature, gone. And you wonder, but that's bad. Why do I have the habit? It's good. You know why? The root has been uprooted. So whatever leaves and branches still seem to be alive, they're gone. The only thing that keeps keeping them alive is our mind's hold onto them. But the more you renew your mind, you let it go, and they wither off and they die. And then that thing that looked insurmountable. I mean, growing up as a believer, I had those, oh, God, I'll not do it again. It was masturbation. Oh, God, I'll not do it again. God, will never happen again. And then it happens. God, I say, oh, God, God, just help. And then you find out the more you just renew your mind. Just renew your mind. You just realize that thing that seems so powerful, that thing that looked like, if I don't do it, I might die, it's gone. It's gone. You're like, oh, it's gone. It's gone. Then the temptation comes and you see, now if I do this thing, it's not because it overpowered me, because now I'm willing and desiring and looking forward to doing it. I want to enjoy something about it. Then you realize, oh, so power is broken. But it takes revelation to do that. It's not strong will. It's that flow of life, that flow of grace. You just know, this thing doesn't have to control me. This thing shouldn't control me. I don't have a bit. Do you understand? Because the old has gone, the new has come. And if we allow this to affect areas of our lives, or maybe you fall ill monthly, you fall ill quarterly, annually, and it's really so bad. The old has gone. Your old nature, including the sickness, because sickness is the offshoot, is an offspring of sin. Oh, did I sin to be sick? No. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, right? Romans 5, 12, such a very beautiful, beautiful verse in the Bible, all right? Lets us know, okay, that when Adam sinned, all right, death came, and that death just flowed to everybody. So beautiful. Thank you. All right. Therefore, through one man's sin, or through one man, sin entered the world. Watch this now. And death entered through sin. And so death spread upon everybody because everybody sinned. But when did everybody sin? Everybody sinned in Adam. That's the only way everybody sinned, in Adam. So through one man, sin entered. And then death entered through sin. So the only reason why we, watch this now, fall sick is because sin was unleashed into the world and death followed it. So I could tell myself, because my nature of sin has been taken, therefore my nature of sickness has been taken. Glory to God. Are you getting this? Someone says, really? Yeah. Yeah. You know, because listen, have you realized in the body of Christ that we do not tolerate sin, but we tolerate sickness? So I'm like, yeah, so what's wrong with that? Everything. I'll say it again. Have you noticed that in the body of Christ, we tolerate sickness, we do not tolerate sin? So somebody's sick, and then we rush to the hospital. Oh, it's okay. Oh, you should be fine. Oh, get well soon. We send flowers. We send cards. We bring food. Oh, you need to be okay. Oh, you need to be fine. Oh, you need to be okay. And then when it's sin, oh, evil you. Oh, get away. Oh, shame on you. Oh, oh, oh. But both sin and sickness were dealt with the same time, the same blow by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:24. Both sin and sickness, they came in together. They were knocked out together. That Romans 5:12 we mentioned earlier, through one man's sin entered the world, death entered through sin. So if sin has been taken out, the effect of death also has been taken out. Let's see 1 Peter 2:24. I know we know it, and we know 1 Peter 2:24 from that angle of, you know, by stripes I'm healed. But I want you to watch this now. Watch this now. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to righteousness. Watch that. By whose stripes we were healed. So we pick the last part. No, it's a full statement. Who, his own self, carried our sins on his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to righteousness. The effect of that, by that stripe, by him carrying the stripe, by him being wounded for Isaiah 53, by him being wounded for our transgression, by him being bruised for our iniquities, by him doing all of that, guys, we're healed. That's what he's saying. So we should now, I'm not now saying you need to get mad at people for falling sick. I'm saying we need the same enlightenment. You have to understand that you do not and should not tolerate sickness. We should not. Oh, it's just sickness. 3 days it'll be over. It's just sickness. 1 month I'll be fine. No. Don't tolerate it. Fight it. And neither am I saying because you fall ill, you know, people should now, look down on you and then talk bad. No, come on. You know, come on. That shouldn't happen. All right. That shouldn't happen. I get in that. But even when people fought, Galatians, all right, when people sin, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, you who are spiritual, when you see a brother overtaken in a fault, restore the person in spirit of meekness. So even when it comes to sin, your first response as a believer is not, you know, brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So our first response to sickness or sin should be, how do I restore? How do I get him back in shape? How do I get her back in shape? When the person now becomes heady, all right, and then doesn't want to listen and all of that, Paul puts in some of that discipline, which he dealt with in some of that parts of the Bible, all right, like 1 Corinthians and all of that. So you see, oh, hey, don't eat with that person. So he's doing that not because he says hate them. He's saying he wants their flesh to realize you're doing something wrong, all right? I mean, back in those days, maybe it's just one church in Corinth, all right? So everybody knows in a church in Corinth. So when a church in Corinth says, hey, you've done something wrong, so we're going to not associate with you, you feel bad. That's your church. But that really might not work well now, because if you say I shouldn't come again, there's another church down the road. I'm fine. I just, you know, I could be okay, you know, doing all of that. But I trust you're getting this. You're a brand new person, all right? And you're dead to sin. to be dead to it means you're now insensitive to it. It's like a man who loves women and booze and all of that. Okay. And then he dies. And then you put, you know, like five naked girls around him dancing. And then, you know, 10, you know, crates or cartons of beer. He's not going to get up. Why? He's dead. He's insensitive to it. He can't respond. He's dead. All right. So that's our relationship with sin. That's our relationship with sickness, not just sin. You got to get this. Now, Romans and the sixth chapter. I could just pick it again from the first verse. So Romans chapter 6. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So Romans 6 from the very first verse. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So Romans 6, shall we, watch this now. Shall we, all right, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Okay, verse 2, God forbid. Certainly not. God forbid, King James, all right? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in? And I'm saying here, and that's what we spend the time talking about, the one who is born again is not in sin. He or she might sin, but the person is not in it. The person needs to realize he or she's dead to it, all right? The old has gone. So, you know, some believers say, well, I just have two natures, sin nature. And no, you don't have two natures. You are a new creature. You cannot have two natures. You do not have two natures. You can't. It can't happen. All right. Verse 3. When we talk to believers like that, we create a whole lot of confusion. All right. So the flesh is, you know, your cravings, you know, and then your mind agreeing with your cravings, but your spirit is recreated. So when the person renews his mind, we'll see that in Ephesians 4, Paul says you put off the old man, then you put on the new man. So what you're supposed to do is renew your mind. All right. Watch verse 3. I like this. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death, is bringing about a reality. You know it, but do you understand this revelation? Do you not know? As many of us as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death. Verse 4 now. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead, hallelujah, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. What's new about the new creation? He's got a new life. He's got a new life. Summary here, you might want to write this phrase down, resurrected life. Resurrected life. There is a revelation about the resurrected life that the church of Jesus needs to come into terms with, needs to become aware of. There's a resurrected life. It says the last part again, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a new life. So he resurrected. We, all right, in confessing him as Lord, we become united with him. All right, we become one with him. So what does that mean for us? It means that you and I are resurrected like him. However, him in reality, but we positionally resurrected, spiritually resurrected. There's a new life, all right? There's a new life about you. There's a new life about me. There's a new life about us. Oh, I'm new. I have a resurrected life. I live a resurrected life. But to activate the resurrected life, I must think like it. Do you understand? I must think like it. Are you getting this? Let's read the verse again. So I'll run to Colossians and come back here. It's Bible study, all right? So run to Colossians, come. I just need to establish these thoughts before we go further. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also, as he was raised from the dead by the glory of God, even so we should walk in a new life. We should walk in a new life. We should walk in a new life. So Colossians 3 from verse 1, right? There's a resurrected life. Please write that down. The resurrected life. The resurrected life. Colossians 3, 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. If you were raised with him, seek the things that are above. If you were raised, seek the things above, right where Christ is. Now, the second verse is so beautiful, and it tallies with where we're coming from in Romans. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So this is the reason why. I mean, you could have this as head knowledge. Oh, I died with him, I resurrected with him, I'm raised with him. Woo, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Yes, but how much of it really, guys? How much of it dawns on us? How much of it are we fully aware of? How much of it has flooded our thinking? That's where the work is. All right, so when believers just feel, oh, don't teach new Christian again. I heard that stuff in foundation school. You're missing the point. It's not foundation school. It's foundational, okay? It's not foundation school. Now, that's what foundation school should be, foundational stuff. But we run 6 classes, 8 classes, and then the things that should be that should define our thinking for the rest of our born-again lives, which is forever, all right? We just put them aside and feel, you know, they're not deep stuff. All right, we need the deep stuff. Hey, and that's why sometimes we falter, because we begin by grace, then want to end by works. Do you understand this? We begin by knowing that he loves me and he died for me and he paid a price for me. And we begin by that. And suddenly you now want to talk about how many times you fasted and how many times you studied the Bible. And then you start talking about works and bragging about works. No, it's still by grace. Okay. And even the works we work, it is still by grace. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. All right, he said, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God working in me. So he worked with the grace. So there's still that. Are you getting that? I mean, thank God you pray, and we should pray. I'm still going to teach on prayer. You need to give attention to prayer, okay? But sometimes I feel, oh, well, you know, because I pray, that's why this thing's happened to me. That's why. Come on. Some of you might have heard me teach this before. We are not the initiators of these things. We just respond. All right. God initiates. We respond. All right. So we say, well, Abraham is the father of faith. Kudos. And it's true. He became the father of faith, not because he initiated faith. It was never his idea. What he did was to respond. God said, come out of your father's house. He responded. Circumcise yourself and every male child you have, or male servant, anybody. He responded. Give me Isaac. He responded. Abraham responded. All right. I'm going to give you a son. He responded. So everything going on was a response. If you read through Hebrews 11, these men and women responded. That's all they did. Moses became deliverer because he responded. Gideon responded. Gideon wasn't, you know, I'm a mighty man. I'm going to speak the word. I'm going to deal with the Midianites. Oh, I say 5 times a day. I say 10 times a day. No, the angel spoke to him. You remember the story? And he believed and responded. All right. Noah built the ark, but he was a response. Are you saying it was Noah also that went to get all the animals 2 by 2 to come in? No, he was just the grace of God at work, but he responded. All right. Some of you, you know, if we're us that God said to offer him up Isaac, we'll now have to start quoting, oh, you are the covenant keeping God. Ha, you will not take my son. You gave him to me. You will not take him away from me. And then we'll quote also. And then by the time we come back, we say, come on, I know how my faith is working. As I was telling God, he sent the, you know, the ram that was caught in the ticket. It's response. It's response. Abraham knew, he spoke. That's my son. If he wants my son, I'll give him my son. And I'll get my son back because I trust him. If I'm not walked with him that much. All right. And then the ram was there. And thank God he obeyed enough to be at the right mountain. He could have killed the guy on the wrong mountain and the ram was waiting somewhere else. However that might have been. But my point is, it's all about the response. And this will help put your faith at rest. God speaks, you respond. God speaks, you respond. All right. So Colossians that we're looking at is saying, set your mind on things above. Let's maybe just pick it to what? Now, maybe the 5th verse. I just want to show you something there. Set your mind on things above and not on things on here. Therefore, all right, watch this. The same Colossians. All right. Let's read 3, 4, and then we get to 5. It's interesting. It began, don't forget, from verse 1. If so be that you're seated together with Christ, that means these guys were seated together with Christ. They're born again folk, all right? If you then be raised together with him, seek the things that are above where Christ seated at the right hand of God. Now, verse 2, it says to them, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Verse 3 now, So beautiful. Why? It says, for you are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. I remember we were doing one outreach back then, you know, in school, high institution. All right. So there was this idea of let's get bikers, let's wear, you know, dark t-shirts and then give out flyers and get on campus and all of that. You know, and so on. Actually, one of the brothers, University Outreach Coordinator, actually, you know, this, you would look like a cult. He said, yeah, we're the Death to Sin cult. Sounds like a good name, right? Death to Sin cult, you know, because everyone's looking like, well, what's going on? Why are bikes coming in like this? Of course, we have talked to the school, taking permission from them, talked to the chief security officer. So they knew what was going to happen. So, hey, it says you're dead. Say you're dead. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead to sin, but then you're alive. Oh, I don't hear God very much. I don't hear God very well. You're alive to God. You're alive to God. You cannot let your feelings determine the utterances of your mouth. You cannot let your feelings determine your confession and meditation, all right? You're dead. You're dead. You're dead, and your life is in Christ. All right? So you died, all right? Are you dead or your leg is hanging out? You're dead. You're dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, verse 4. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 4 now. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will have... Yeah, with him in glory. Woo! Glory to God. This is a shouting verse. And, you know, I've had a period of meditating on this for sometime this year, and all I just stuck on was the first line. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Someone says, what does he mean? Stay on it. Stay on it. Stay on it. You might do a week, you might do two. It starts coming. It starts coming. It starts coming. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. The definition of my life is Christ. The definition of my life is Christ. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Is my utmost. Is my life. Is my identity. Is my reality. Christ is my life. I've given like three things already, all right? But it's not because I read them, because I stuck with it. You just stay. Christ is my life. And that says, when Christ, who is, not will be, because you need to look at it. When Christ, who is your life, appears. So it looks like appears, future tense. But it says, he is, not will be. Hallelujah. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him. Let's play around this verse. Hope that's fine. So I'm like, yeah, let's do it. NLT. Let me. NLT, TPT, Amplified. All right, let's just play around with this verse quickly. Glory to God. Glory. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Christ is my totality. Christ is my completeness. Christ is my life. He's my identity. He is my reality. He's my life. My life. My life is in him, defined by him, defined with him. Outside him, I have no definition. Outside him, I have no reality. Christ is my reality. Christ is my identity. Christ is my all and in all. Glory to God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. He is your life. When he's seen, when everybody sees him, and you know, so you will share with him in glory. The only reason you share with him in glory is because you have the same glory. All right. In John chapter 17, 22, he said, the glory the Father has given to him, he has given to you. So it's actually the glory he has, but it's not fully seen yet, because it will be fully seen when they see him and see you with him. And well, right now, what's happening? He is my life. He is my life. He is my life. TPT. He is my life. Christ is my life. He's not trying to be my life. He's not trying to be. Christ is my life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I like this. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed. Hallelujah. Why? For you are now one with him in his glory. Hallelujah. These are verses. And maybe someone is saying, but I know the verse. I know I'd known it many years too, but then just sit with it. Sit with it. Christ is my life. Christ is my reality. Christ is my completeness. Christ is my definition. Christ is my identity. Christ is all. Is all and in all. Christ. Christ is my life. He 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 is my life. I live by him. Oh, the doctor says your PCV is low, you know, your blood count. I live by Christ. I live. He is my life. He is my life. He is my life, my sustainer, my energizer. He is my life. He is my life, my wisdom, my direction. He is my sense of direction. He is my all. He is Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Christ is my life. He is my life. He is my all. Whew. Hallelujah. Thank you, dear Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ is my life. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He is my life. Glory to God. Amen. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is my life. All right. Glory. Let's see that verse again. TPT. Thank you, Lord. For as Christ himself is seen for who he really is. And I need you to have a picture of this. So John the Beloved, all right, had a relationship with him. Peter, James, everybody. Okay, they saw him. John from, you know, 1 John. Chapter 1 says that which you have seen with our eyes, heard we've handled, all right, of the word of life. So they had physical contact with him. They lived with him. They rolled with him, okay? And then John in the book of Revelation sees the glorified Lord and the man passes out. I mean, he knew Jesus in the flesh. And that's why you understand Paul saying, therefore, know we no man after the flesh. We knew Christ that we don't. He now says, when he sinned, when Christ himself is sin for who he really is. Oh, dear Lord. Oh, dear Lord. Do you know the voice with which he spoke to John in the book of Revelation? It was a voice of authority, guys. He's the same Lord, the love Lord, love himself. And he said, write to this church. I've seen your works. But write to that church. I could take out your candlestick, guys. Write to that church. You need to, you know, he's speaking with authority. Speaking in authority to the church. And John describes him. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed. So he said, oh, see my body, you know, and you know, see, I'm not as tall, I'm not as shapy, or, you know, and I'm not trying to be crude. People have desires, all right? You look at your body and feel, oh, this person's more endowed than I am, and all of that. There's a greater beauty about you. And I'm not just trying to console you and sound spiritual. No. You know, and many times you don't even see the beauty people see about you. All right? You don't see it. And you need to see it. And the way to see it, so you understand that Christ is your identity. Then you fall in love with what you have. Oh, if you need to gym and do stuff and you can work on yourself, by all means, feel free. All right? You want to pump your biceps and, you know, grow extra? By all means, do what you got to do, all right? Do what you want to do. It's what you want to do, so it's fine. It doesn't go against the will of God or the word of God. But don't let self-esteem run around in your mind. Because even you have not seen the glory of your human spirit. You don't have an idea what that your glorified body would look like with all those complaints that you have. You just realize that you were, you know, complaining about things that really didn't carry value. So let's see the verse again. Christ is my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to say that with me a bit? Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Alright, then we add the last part of this to it. Christ is your life, right? As Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in his glory. All right. So if you had checked, you know, King James NLT, they say you will share. The only reason why you share is because you already have it. I am one with him in glory. Christ is my life. Christ and I are one. And then you're building solid new creation thinking kind of meditation. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amplify. Let's just, you know, this is fine. We could end on this, but let's just touch Amplify and then we roll. We'll get back to Romans chapter 6. Are you learning something? When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in, watch this, in the splendor of his glory. That beauty that was described about him in Book of Revelations. Imagine now seeing yourself all glory, you know? you know, those pictures, you know, some folks have about Jesus, and they put a halo, you know, on his head. That halo should be all, thank you. You know, that halo should be all around you. His head, you know, and his hair were white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes were like, thanks, Gabriel. I mean, you understand? John saw him and John, passed out. Like, is this my Jesus? Yeah, it is. This is the Lord. The resurrected Lord, and you're resurrected together with him in full of glory and splendor and power like him. And like, as we've been trying to call our attention to man being spirit, so buddy, we limit our thinking to what you look like in your mind, or what you think about in your mind, and how you look in your body, or how you think you look in your body. And then we don't see the glory in the human spirit. So we don't walk in the realities that belong to the human spirit. But hey, come on. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Christ is my essence. Christ is my reality. Christ is my identity. Christ is my source. He is my sustainer. He is my life. 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 If you take any other thing away from me, I will keep standing, because Christ is the definition of my existence. Christ is my life. Christ is my reality. My attachment to every other thing is zero, because Christ is all and in all and in all. He is my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's your life, means he's your health, though. He's your health. He sustains you. Bible says the life of flesh in Leviticus. The life of flesh is in the blood. The life of flesh is in the blood. But you, Christ is your own life. Hi. Hey, Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. They say you are diabetic. You need insulin shots. Take the shots as much as you need. But remind yourself, there's an infusion of life. Christ, Christ. Christ is my life. Christ. Christ is my life. Christ. Christ. Start, inject yourself with that holy insulin. All right. Christ is my life. Christ. Christ. Christ is my life. Christ. Christ. Christ is my life. Hallelujah. He is my life. He is my health. He is my revelation. He is my illumination. Do you understand that? Remember Psalm 27 verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I, you know, be afraid? So now you're learning Christ is my life. Thank you. The Lord is, he is my light. The word light, there's the word illumination. The Lord is my illumination. So you're trying to make decision. Oh God, give me direction. Oh God, give me, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my illumination. He is my light. He is my illumination. Christ is my life. He is your life. If he's your life, he is your light. All right. He represents all of this. Christ is my life. Light, illumination. You are my illumination. All right. You are my illumination. And then the word salvation there means deliverance. It means prosperity, guys. This one, yes. The Lord is my deliverance. He is my prosperity. He is your prosperity. So the Lord is my illumination. He is my prosperity. He is my deliverer. He is your rescuer, right? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength, the energy of your life. Of whom shall you be afraid? The word strength, there's also fortress. Fortress. He's the fortress of my life. He's the fortress. A fortress, a hiding place. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my fortress. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I love David. If you've ever heard me teach that before, I love to teach that David had a present tense revelation, all right, of God. All right. The Lord is my refuge, my fortress. You always hear him say the Lord is my shepherd. He just had that present tense reality. It's a beautiful thing. Now, in the Church of Jesus, we seem to be more aware, all right, of our circumstances, challenges, and we get to, you know, declare what's happening to us, what's comfortable, what's not. Come on. The Lord is my life. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord, he is. And then you summarize all of that. Christ is my life. Hallelujah. Christ is my life. He is my front, my back, my, come on, he's my rear guard, my defense, my, he's everything to me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, it's quite amazing that, you know, when we teach, you know, stuff like this, people say, you know, those teachings are not really practical. We need practical teaching. All right. And then, so what they might call practical is how to do well at your office, how to get a job, how to find promotion. And they say, yeah, it's practical. Now you're talking about what people need. So the new creation guy or lady now abandons new creation thoughts and say, hey, foundation school stuff. I need something practical. I need how to get promoted, how to, you know, win friends and influence people, how to. But we do not know that all of that is embedded in already in who we are. Because you know you're a new creature and all things have passed away and you have a new nature, then you learn that love is your new nature. So when you walk in love, all them, how to win friends and influence people is in your love walk. Then you learn, you know, because you have to now learn, okay, you need to be, you know, teamwork. And I like John C. Maxwell, like really stuff, right? So you have to learn to be adaptable, you know, accommodating and all of that. But when you understand love work because you're a new creature, then you are adaptable. Then you get along easily with people. You know, it's not always your say so because love will never insist on its own way. So, but unconsciously, where we handle these kinds of topics or talks, we now make the people throw away who they are, and then they try to be like the world, and you can't win the world in its own game. You have to bring your game. You have to know, this is me. I am born from above. I'm a different breed. I'm a different species. Something is different about me. Romans. Let's run to Romans. I mean, for every topic we have, there's a whole lot to touch, all right? So it's just fun, and then we just run to this together. So Romans chapter 6, I think we ended at verse 3, right? Romans 6 and 3. And then we pick it from there. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you. Praise God. Do you not know that as many of us as we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death? All right, verse 4. Therefore, we're buried with him in baptism through death, you know, buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should walk in the newness of life. So have a new life, and Christ is that life. All right, so verse 5 now. So just read. All right. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6. Excuse me. Knowing this, watch, I want you to see this. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Anybody who's dealing with any habit, please read this. Or if you know anybody, ask them to read this. I've had to do that. And the truth, after a while, you have to choose. You now know this thing's not powerful. It's not powerful. I'm the one yielding myself to it. It's not powerful. The power of this thing has been broken. The power has been destroyed. I'm the one yielding myself to it. I'm now liking, like James said, nobody should say when he's tempted that God is tempting him, but everyone is tempted when he's drawn of his own lust and enticed. So it's now not God is tempting me. God never does that. It's now not, oh, this thing is powerful. No, you now begin to understand, I'm bigger than this thing. I'm more powerful than this thing. It shouldn't control me, but I'm enjoying it. Maybe one more time. That's happening. And you're not saying, why are you doing that? All right. But it goes away from that. I just can't control it. Let's see that verse again, please. But it goes away from that. Just beautiful, just clean and neat. All right. So let's see. Knowing this. So knowing means you need to know. All right. Knowing this, that our old man, not your daddy. All right. Not your daddy. All right. Someone, you know, I think it was Reverend McCankins, I heard say, you know, that someone was saying, oh, I know who Paul's father was. You know, and they asked who. He said, one of the guys that was crucified with Jesus Christ. And I said, why? I said, because my old man was crucified with Christ. All right. I think you caught the joke. All right. So knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin, notice, so the old nature has been crucified. You don't have two natures. You don't have two. Old nature crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, done away with, that you should no longer serve sin. You can't be a slave of it because the power is broken. Let's keep going. Verse 7 now. Thank you, Lord. What's he looking at? The fact that you're new. For he who has died has been freed from sin. the guy who's dead, put the naked girls there, put the Pierre back. He can't wake up. He dead. All right. He dead, dead. He who is dead, he's free from sin. Now, look at verse 8. Simple, beautiful revelation here. If you have any habit you need to deal with, all right, you have someone who needs to deal with any habit, you might want to do a Bible study with them. Tell them, let's read this thing together. Let's read it patiently. You know, we just want to lay hands for everything. Listen, I believe a lot in laying on the hands. There are many of you right here on this Zoom meeting I have laid hands on. But I'm saying there's the basic deliverance by revelation. There's that, you know, Jesus said, you are made clean through the words I speak unto you. Paul talked about the washing of water by the word. And of course, you know, the one he said in Romans, the renewal of mind. So just find that, just allow yourself to be washed, And you find that those desires, you don't read this verse like once and walk away. You read it, the whole Romans 6 from 1 to maybe 16. And then you read and read and keep reading. By the third, fourth day, maybe the first day, just realize this thing I thought had power over me doesn't have power over me. Doesn't have power. It really doesn't. Doesn't have power. And then you're seeing it. It's there in black and white. It's clear. All right. It's clear. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. All right. Let me try and move faster now. So much to still say. All right. If we die with Christ, we also believe that we shall also live with him, knowing, watch this guys, that Christ, having been raised from the dead, okay, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion. So he is raised from the dead. He can't die anymore. Listen, he's been raised. Death cannot come again and say, I'm going to lord it over you. Same thing applies to you. Let's go. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, verse 10. For the death that he died, watch this now. He died unto sin once and for all, but the life that he lives, he now lives to God. So he died and death cannot reign over him. He lives unto God. Verse 11. Beautiful verse. 11. Thank you there, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Likewise means in the same way. All right. We're going to maybe play with this verse quickly. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. NLT TPT. We just do one, do the other. NLT TPT. Romans 6:11 rather. All right. Are you ready? NLT TPT. Thank you. You should also consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. Some believers know they are dead to sin, but they don't know they are alive to God. Right? They are more aware of their deadness to sin, and that's good, as in it's very good. But they need to now become aware of their being alive. Yeah, they are dead to sin, but they say, I don't know, God doesn't speak to me. I don't hear from God. I just don't have direction. I'm just going to go, no, you're alive. Whoever is alive doesn't talk like that. To be dead to sin means you are insensitive to sin. Alive to God means you are sensitive. If God drops a pin, you know, pin dropped. You know, you're alive. You're aware of him. You're, you know, Ken Hagin said that many preachers, you know, will not know or recognize the Holy Ghost if he walks down the street with a red hat on. Did you get that? Now, red hat sounds like, boy, he's hiding himself. Wouldn't you know red? If anybody wears a red hat beside you, you who know that, why is that guy wearing red? Red is conspicuous. Red is a loud shouting color. So Hagin says that many preachers would not recognize the Holy Ghost if he walks down the street with a red, conspicuous, shouting, loud color on. Why? Because we're too filled with program and planning. This is how we're going to do. Follow the Holy Ghost. Follow the Holy Ghost. Now, following the Holy Ghost does not mean we don't have an agenda. It doesn't mean we don't have a plan, all right? Because there are two extremes. There are those who plan, and then plan out the Holy Ghost. And then the other extreme, we don't have plans. We just flow, you know, just flow with the Holy Ghost. No plan at all. Mm-mm. God doesn't wake up today and say, when should the sun go up? Michael, did you forget to put the sun down? No, it's been set. All right. So systems and structure, God put them there. Times and seasons, you see all that, God put them there. So there's a place for system and structure, and then there's a place for the flow. You have to understand that. I can't wake up every day and say, what are you doing today? I don't know. I just flow. God doesn't wake up to flow. God puts systems and structure, all right, in place. Glory to God. So I believe you're getting this, and then it's getting, you know, clearer and clearer. So, hey, Thank you, TPT. So let it be the same way with you. Since you are now joined with him, you must continually view, watch this, view yourself as dead and, oh, I like the word, is right there waiting for us, unresponsive to sin's appeal while living daily for God's pleasure in union with him, the anointed, you know, with Jesus, the anointed one. So you are not sensitive, all right? He used the word unresponsive, all right? Unresponsive to sin. I don't respond. I'm dead, but don't just stop with that. I'm alive to God. I'm alive to God. I'm alive to God. I'm alive to God. I'm aware of his timings, aware of his leadings, aware of his movements in my life, around my life. I'm aware. I'm alive unto God. I'm alive. I'm alive unto God. All right. I'm alive unto God. Glory to God. All right. Let's switch back now. New King James and then do 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. All right. It's we've run over an hour already. So let's just, all right, go. Thank you. All right. So do not let, and so by the time you build this, you know what? Please read this on your own. I beg you. Please read this. You would love this. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its laws. Notice this verse doesn't put it on God. It puts it on you. Don't let, don't allow. God says, why are we spending so much time on this? It's us saying that you have a new life. And then the reason why very many believers, you know, that agree with the fact that they have a new life is they still see the conduct of their bodies or in the flesh or the thoughts in their mind. The power is on you because the power of that thing has been broken. There's no sin in your spirit. There's none. All right? There's no sin. There's no, oh, that stuff is not inside you. You don't have two natures. The old man has been crucified. You are brand new. You're a new creature. You're a new species. You're brand new. That's what you are. You're altogether new, like the Amplified Bible said. You're altogether new. You're completely, look around you, new. So what's new about new Christian? Everything. He has a new nature. He has a new slate with God. He has everything is new, but we need to look at what the everything is, all right? Therefore, do not let, and that's you, that's me. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Don't let it reign. Don't start letting it do what it feels. It means you can't stop it. So you understand better now. Let him that stole steal no more. Tell the guy to stop it because the guy can stop it. Tell the lady to stop it because she can. It might start with, oh, but I can't. If I don't do it, I feel I'll die. If I don't allow him, I feel I'll die. I feel I'll die. No, you won't die. Now, the craving would make it seem so because the voice of that craving is loud. But when you allow yourself to come to the washing of the word and then the washing of the word, and then you just realize, oh, this thing's not as powerful as I felt it was before. It's not because the power ran away, but you realize by revelation, the power was powerless where you were concerned. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in his lust. All right, verse 13. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And do not, instruction to you again, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Members, eye, tongue, you could have any way you want to interpret that, but don't present your members. Don't give your members over, parts of your body, whatever it is. Don't present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present your members to God as being alive from the dead. I mean, present yourself to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Present your members, give your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Luke 14, very interesting verse. Whoosh. It's a punchy verse. For sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under law, but under grace. When you teach grace, people say, oh, grace is, you know, license to sin. Look at the verse. Look at the verse. Sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under the law. That means in the law, sin could have dominion over them. Isn't that amazing? Sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under law, but you are under grace. So why? Grace is that ability of God flowing through me that, you know, washes away the filth and the guilt. And it's not just washing away the guilt. It makes me realize the power of that thing was broken. All right, so 15, 16. We'll stop at 16 and then we'll run from that. Thank you, Lord. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. 16. Thank you, there, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you not know that to whom you present your members, slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey? whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading. So it says, hey, it's now your choice. Now you realize that the power of that thing is broken and don't give yourself to it. Walk away from that thing. Why? You're brand new. You're brand new. This should be taught. It should be taught, yes, in the foundation classes, but we need to teach it in churches. That's why sometimes we grow, you know, and then we just mess up. All right. So this needs to be taught to all of us. All right. Don't give yourself this thing. Don't give yourself this thing. No, you know, teach it every time, as often as you can. It's not for, it's everybody realizing, hey, Paul, I mean, like he did to them in the Colossian church. Did we get to verse 5 eventually? I know from Christ, you know, Christ is our life, Christ is our life. I'm not sure we went to verse 5, you know, of that Roman Colossians, you know, chapter 3. But it just moved from Christ being your life, and then it goes to put to death the deeds of your body. Put to death. Don't allow. He's writing to people who are resurrected together with him. He's writing to people who are seated together with him, and he's telling them, put to death the deeds of him. What do you mean put to death? Oh, dear Lord, glory to God. Has this been helpful, anybody? Praise God. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus. So what's new about the new creation? Everything. Everything is new. Everything is amazingly, like, super new. Praise God. All right. Amen, amen, amen. Let me rearrange the notes. I want to bring a thought forward, and then we'll drop another one back. We'll still cover them tomorrow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oof. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 You might want to give me a thumbs up. Let me know, you know, it's blessing you. And if you want to drop a comment, please feel free. So let's go to Ezekiel 36:25. Ezekiel 36:25. Thank you, Lord. So I'll just switch a structure here. Thank you, Lord. Ezekiel 36:25. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay. Praise God. Being blessed. Thank you. So God is speaking here, and he says that I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and all your idols. This is one of those places in the Bible where, you know, it's a law of double prophecy. And by law of double prophecy, the point being communicated is something is being said directly to Israel, but it's not particularly to Israel. It's, you know, for the Gentiles or, you know, to the rest of the, you know, rest of the world. So let's just see that. Thank you, Lord. So I will sprinkle clean water on you, you know, and you'll be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you from everything. Now, 36. That's the key verse. I'm actually going to 36 and 37. So I want you to see this. Watch this. I will give you a new heart. All right? 36, right? 36, 36. Thank you. It's 26. 36, 26. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Gabriel. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I want you to notice. What's new about the new creation? New heart. Did you get that? A new heart. Psalm 51, and then we'll come back here quickly. Psalm 51 from verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 51 from verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Have mercy on me, O God. This is David. According to your loving kindness, according to you, the multitudes of your tender mercies, blot out my transgression. All right. This was obviously after Bathsheba. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is always before me. You know, just going on great. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found, you know, when you speak and blameless. May be found just when speaking of blameless when you judge. All right, verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Okay, we're going. Behold, you desire truth in inward parts and in a hidden part you make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop. So David is praying. He wants cleansing. He's feeling bad about the whole thing. And I will be clean. And I want you to, I'm allowing you, we're reading this, I believe, you know, the Holy Ghost wants you to see the progression. He's pouring out his heart. He's feeling bad. I've sinned against you. Wash me, cleanse me, clean me, clean me, wash me. I feel bad. Wash me, cleanse me, clean me, cleanse me, wash me, cleanse me. You know, pour me with hyssop and I'll be clean. Wash me and I'll be white as snow. So he's talking about an act of sin he committed, all right? And he's asking for this amount of cleansing and washing, okay? Verse 8. Make me hear your joy and gladness, that my bones, you know, that you have broken may rejoice. And then hide not your face from my sins, blot, you know, out all my transgressions. Verse 10. Watch this now. Creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So he said, wash me, cleanse me, wash me, wash me. Then he gets here and he says, creating me a clean heart, renew a new spirit. So give me a new heart, give me a new spirit. Notice all the things he's asking for. Next verse, please. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take away your Holy Spirit from me. His point out is that, and this is David, serious, you know, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold, you know, me by your generous spirit. So let's go back to Ezekiel 36, 26. So please note what he was praying for, right? Please note what he was asking for, all right? I will give you a new heart. So David was asking for it as you know, he was remorseful. He was feeling broken, feeling bad. You know, this is how I feel about this thing that I have done. All right. But God now is speaking to everybody. It's not a David thing anymore. This is everybody. He says, hey, there's that time coming. I will give you a new heart. I know for sending believers, maybe you did something wrong. You feel like, God, give me a new heart. Give me a new heart. Give me a new heart. You don't need a new heart. You have a new heart. What you need is a renewal of the mind, all right? I've explained to us before now that the core of man is a spirit. Man is spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. Now, the totality of that heart, all right, if you look at scriptures all together, there seems to be a fusion of the soul and the spirit to make up that heart. The core of that heart is still the spirit. Do you understand that? So when the Bible says guard your heart, all right, you could say, well, I'm guarding my spirit, but the doorway to that spirit is your mind. All right, the doorway is your mind. So you guarding your mind seems to be the doorway to guarding your heart, you know. So the mind has a lot to do with the heart. You know, you're born again, so you're transformed. Yeah, you know that you're transformed, you're a new creation and all of that. But Paul says if you don't renew your mind, you won't enjoy transformation. So it seems as if the heart and the mind have a lot to do, you know, together, or you know, or the spirit and the mind have a lot to do in that concept of what the heart is. But then there's, when you read the verse, there's when you know this is spirit, heart here is spirit. Then there's when you read and you know this heart here is mind. For instance, as a man thinketh in his heart, you know that one is the mind, all right? So there are some you read, you know this is spirit. There are some you read, you know this is, you know, mind. And then there are some, you know, these all together. But the core of it, the core heart of the heart is the spirit. But around that spirit, because I'm sure you know that the spirit and soul cannot be separated except by the word. Right, so even when a man dies and leaves his body, when he's absent from the body, he's not absent from his mind. The spirit has a soul. It has a soul. You never step out of your mind. You're always with your mind. You're a living soul, if you get that, you know, concept. So Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, 26. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 So irrespective of how you feel, irrespective of what's happening around you, I want you to see this verse and believe the verse, okay? See, believe it. I will give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh. You might feel I'm stubborn. Oh God, I'm just stubborn. I don't understand. I'm just very stubborn. I don't listen. God, I have a stony heart. I have a stony heart. Or the preacher is preaching. All of you here that have a stony heart. When I taught you, you don't listen. You poor have a stony heart. I've got to give you a heart of no. You don't say that to the new creation. You don't say that to them. You don't say that to them. All right. No new creation has a stony heart. They might be hard-headed. Yeah. I mean, there might be whatever else, you know, and then all sorts, all power kinds of behavior sometimes, all right? So there might be, I mean, like Kenny again sometimes is preaching and he says, God bless their darling hearts, you know, pause and say, and stupid heads. You know, so we could be hard-headed, we could, you know, behave like there's one, you know, something, something up somewhere. But new creation on heart? No. No. Oh, no, no. You know, you have a clean heart. You have a very, very clean heart. Heart has been washed clean. Clean. All right. Let's see the rest. Let's see the rest. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. The rules have changed. Oh, thank you, Lord. Because a new creation has a new set of rules. You live by new. Everything is different. Oh, dear. I will give you a new heart. So say, I have a new heart. I have a new heart. I have a new heart. That's what I have. You know, I don't know why I'm just finding it hard to forgive. God, just forgive me of this wickedness in my heart. No, it's not a wickedness in your heart. Your mind. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. Do all the things you need to do. Renew your mind. Be open. All right? I'll give you a new heart. And I'll put a new spirit within you. So I have a new heart. I have a new spirit. What's new about the new creation? His heart is new. His spirit is new. I have a new heart. I have a new spirit. Oh, hallelujah. I have a new heart. There's a new spirit in me. The old spirit is gone. A new spirit is here. In me is a new spirit. In me, there's a brand new spirit inside me. Can you do this with me, please? Please. There's a brand new spirit inside me. Hallelujah. There's a brand new spirit in me. There's a brand new spirit in me. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. There's a brand new spirit in me. Yes, yes. I'm new. I'm new. I'm new. Thank you, Lord. I'm new. I'm new. Maybe you write this down. I have to learn to live from inside out. Can you write that down, please? I have to learn to live from inside out. Or you also want to write straight, I live from inside out. Because that's where the life is. Please notice this. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit where? In you. So what's new about the new creation? He's got a new heart. He's got a new spirit. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh. I will give you a heart of flesh. That's what you have right now. Heart of flesh. Next verse, please. 27. So we could get out here soon. Oh, it's beautiful. 27 is beautiful. Thank you, Lord. 27. I will put my spirit. Hey, Karabashike Manokoshikaba. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I will put my spirit in you. See this revelation. I will put my spirit in you. And cause you to walk in my status. We have a new heart. We have a new spirit. We have a new set of rules. We have a new method of operation. In the Old Testament, they had to give them laws. And they had to be told to do the laws. And they were commanded from outside. Now your own command is from within. Hey, your own guidance is from within. Your own assurance is from within. You know, many times we live. No, I live from the inside out. Not from outside in. Where does your self-esteem come from? Is it from outside? You know, your approval, your affirmation in life. Where does it come from? You know? And we learn these kind of things from Jesus. If Jesus had his affirmation coming from men, he would have been wrecked. There was a time they ran away. He said, all of you run from me, but I'm never alone because my Father is always with me. His own affirmation wasn't from outside. You know? He said, you know, many of you receive testimony from men. No, I said, I receive my own testimony from God. My witness is from God. He said, you sent to John and John bore witness of me, but my witness is greater than John. Ah, hallelujah. My affirmation is I live from inside out. When you feel confused, it's a feeling up here. It's not in here. You live from inside out. There's a new spirit in me. And the spirit in me is never confused. The spirit in me is not confused. Doesn't mean right now. I mean, you could be wearing your glasses and just turn it up your head and you spend 5 minutes looking for your glasses in your house. But you know, it doesn't deny the fact that a new spirit is in you, that a light and life of God is in you. And someone says, why are you looking for my glasses? It's on your head. Like, oh, great, go. And then suddenly you just feel dumb for doing that. No, you have to keep renewing your mind. You have to keep presenting to yourself the real you. You have to put it before you. This is the real me. It's going to be tough. It looks like I'm lying, but this is the real me. This is the real me. This is the real me. What's new about me? My heart is new. What's new about me? My nature is new. What's new about me? My spirit is new. You know, my spirit is new. I'm careful with words like brokenness, you know. Now, when if you're hard-headed, maybe you might need to be broken, you know? But a believer doesn't need to ever get to that point. You know, from making it hard for God to lead you and direct you and guide you, like Psalm 32 verse 9 says, when you behave like a donkey, you know? But a believer doesn't have to say, you know, you must be broken to get to your next level. You must be broken. Why must we be broken? Can't we just be led? Can we be led? Must we be broken? Those who need to be broken are those who are stubborn, those who, you know, hug their will and opinion and emotion. And maybe in that light, I could understand the language and the use of the word brokenness. You know, but on the everyday, I think it shouldn't be so much of a language with the new creation, because you should be led. You should, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of your body, Romans chapter 8. You should be led. Must God have to confront you about everything before you move to the next level? Obey him. Come on. Come on. One more time. Come on. It doesn't have to do that. And then we harbor forgiveness and, you know, harbor unforgiveness and all of that. It's actually 13. So, okay, we could pick, and this is beautiful. Thank you, Gabriel. So this is Romans 8, 11. Let's do 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, he will raise up Christ from the dead, give life to your mortal body by spirit that live. Hey, we know that one, right? But watch this. Let's go to 12 now. 12, you know. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. To live our, so you don't owe the flesh anything. I must do this, I must do that. No, you don't owe the flesh. We're debtors, but not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Verse 13. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit, watch this. If you through the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So the flesh can't be the one, you know, you have to, God, break me. God, come on. Through the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. Guess what the next verse now is? As many as are led by the Spirit. All right, 14th verse. As many as are led by the Spirit are sons of God. So it says, you through the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. You will live. How do you do that? By yielding to the leadings and the dictates and the impulses. This impulse is used here in the chapter 8, verse 14, NLT. No, TPT. Let's see TPT. You know, Romans 8, 14, Passion Translation. Thank you. 14. Yeah, thank you. Watch this now. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses. You know those, when God drops a pin, like pin drop. Anybody heard? Pin dropped. Like God dropped the pin. You're quick. Yeah. And it doesn't happen overnight, but it would never happen if all you keep doing is saying, I don't hear from God. God, break me. Come on. You know, and like, so I'm trying to give some lyrical examples to it. You don't need the example. Don't be singing brokenness. Oh, God, break me, mold me, break me, mold me. He doesn't need to break anything. All right. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. So you don't have a stony heart. You don't have a stony heart. You don't have a stony heart. You don't. Glory to God. Woo! You know, back to Ezekiel 36:27. And a new spirit, a new spirit I will put in you, and I'll put my Spirit in you, and I will cause you. I like this. I will make you to walk in my statutes and in my commandments and judgments and to do them. Hey. I'll put a new spirit. So what's new about you? New, you, everything. Huh? Everything is new about me. Everything is new. Listen, life will challenge you. Circumstances will challenge you. Even you will challenge yourself, all right? Because you'll keep behaving in the same old way, but you need to remind yourself everything is new. Everything is new about me. Finish the song for me, right? Just put your own lines. Everything is new about me. Da-da, da-da. Everything is new about me. Da-da, da-da. Everything is new about me. Help me. That part of the song. All right. I know if I keep singing it to flow. But everything is new about me. Everything is new about me. Everything is new about me. Right? Everything, guys. Everything. Everything is new. You know, and then you now start putting, you know, I got a new, just do it on your own. Sing it whichever way you want to sing, right? Create your own song. But everything is new. Life will tell you it's not new. Circumstances, you, your results, the, your output sometimes tell you you're not new. The way you got angry at someone or the way you, see, you're not new. You're not new. I'm new. I have a new heart. And that heart is filled with love, love, love. I got so much love. You know, you have love to give, and you have love. Love is shed abroad all over your heart. You have a new heart. You have a new heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right. You're new. See, I'm new. I'm new. I have a new spirit. Huh? I have a new spirit. Do you have a new spirit? Yes, I do. I don't have that old spirit. I have a new spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2:12. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just, like I said earlier, I had to adjust some thoughts, but, you know, just move something up the line and another down. Watch this. We have received, I like this, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us of God. I have. I don't have, you know, the church is going worldly and the world is going churchy. Yeah, that kind of statement, right? Watch this. You focus on what God said about you. And sometimes when you look around and feel the devil is willing, God is wiser than that, okay? You'll be amazed. You find a lot of young people that are hungry for the things of the Spirit, okay? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely. So I have a new spirit, and the spirit I have is a spirit that reveals things to me. I have a new spirit. I have it. You say, but that's the Holy Ghost. Yeah, it's in me. All right? It's in me. I have. I'm trying to show you what you have, all right? It says a new spirit would I put within you. You remember 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7? God has not given you the spirit of fear. So, oh, I used to be afraid. I'm claustrophobic. I'm whatever phobic. I'm xenophobic. You know, whatever it is, right? God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. So what kind of spirit do you have? A new spirit, a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. What kind of spirit do you have? Of power and of love and of a sound mind. What kind of spirit do you have? I have a spirit of power. I have a spirit of love and of a sound mind. You got that. This is what I have. Romans chapter 5. I'm showing you, you have a new spirit. What kind of spirit? What kind of spirit? That's what I'm trying to show you, right? Just a bit of it. I have a spirit of power. I need to tell you, I have a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. I do not have a spirit of fear. I do not have a spirit of fear. I do not have a spirit of fear, right? I do not have it. You do not have a spirit of fear. Oh, but I'm fearful. Yeah. I do not have the spirit of fear. All right. Romans 8:15. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes. Everything is new about me. Dun, 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 dun. Da, 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 da. Yes. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You did not receive. There's a new spirit in me, and the spirit in me is a spirit of adoption. The spirit in me is a spirit of sonship. Listen, I'm not a stranger to God. And that's what the verse is saying. You're not a stranger to God. You are his child. He loves you, and he's put a new spirit in you. You know, in the last, you know, edition of Word Up, we said that God created everybody. Well, he's not everybody's daddy. He's your own daddy, all right? He's not everybody's daddy. He's your daddy. So the spirit he put within you, the spirit crying out, Abba, Father, is a spirit yearning, daddy, daddy. That is a spirit of intimacy. You know, even when you don't pray, you don't talk to him, that the spirit is in you crying, daddy, 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 daddy. You know, you want to sing, I want more of you. God is saying, you, me, I want you. The spirit in you is yearning jealously for fellowship. All right. The spirit in you is crying out for intimacy, that deep, intimate relationship. Daddy, I have a new spirit. I have a new spirit. This spirit is a child of God. Behold, the manner of love. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 1. That the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called sons of God. The spirit in me is that spirit of sonship. I have the spirit of the house. I'm not a stranger in this house. This is my home. I'm not a stranger here. Thanks. I'm not a stranger. This is my home. I'm not a stranger in this place. I'm his child. Oh, I'm his child. Hallelujah. Oh, karabashi gebede. So don't pray like a stranger. Don't talk like a stranger. Don't act like a stranger. You're new and you have a different set of rules. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4, 6 actually, but let's pick it from chapter verse 5. Galatians 4. 5. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Galatians 4 and 5. All right. It says to redeem them that were under the law, that might receive. Watch that again. The adoption of sons. Verse 6 now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. There's a new spirit in you. The spirit of intimacy. I don't even know the kind of spirit I have. One spirit that does not like to pray. That's not your spirit, bro. That's your flesh. The spirit in you wants it. He yearns for it. He yearns for that intimacy, that union. You were built for union. Do you understand? You were built for union. And I'm saying this in context. Gabriel, please, 1 Corinthians 6, 17. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 6 and 17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. You are not the Lord, all right? You have not become the Lord. There is the Lord, all right? Just same way Jesus will say, I and my Father are one. He didn't say, I am the Father. He says, I and my Father are one. But there's him, there's a Father. We've become one. So he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. This being joined here is a union. But I could have a positional union and it's not activated. So the spirit in you is crying for an activation of that union. It wants to be in fellowship. It wants to korobashi gebedeke. Just talk in tongues with me like 3 minutes. I'm sure you can. Karabashi gebedeke. Also, just help me leave that verse, 1 Corinthians 6, 17, please. Karabashi gebedeke bon prodogodoso mi karagadoso fie fedekede. Under Prodogodoso Fenekedegedegedegedegedegedegedegede. 1 Corinthians 6, 17. Yeah, thank you. Perando Prodogodo. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. I'm joined unto the Lord. Just say that for yourself. I'm joined unto the Lord. I'm one spirit with him. I'm one spirit with him. With him, guys. Not with the flesh. Not with the world. Not with anger, malice, bitterness. That's just me. When I'm angry, that's not you. I'm joined unto the Lord. I am one spirit with him. I'm joined unto the Lord. I am joined unto the Lord, and I'm one spirit with him. I am joined unto the Lord, and I am one spirit with him. I'm joined unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And I am one spirit with him. I am one spirit with him. Pero bos fon frena koduso mi kadam prodo godosu. Nen kre koro koduso freninge. Freninge ko frodo godo godo gotiso fie vede gede. Thank you, Lord. Pa prodo godoso freninge. Enono godoso. I'm joined unto the Lord. I am one spirit. He and I are one. He and I are one. He is my life. I am in him, he is in me, he is my life. I am in him, he is in me, he is my life. I am in him, he is in me, he is my life. I'm joined unto the Lord. I'm joined unto the Lord. I'm joined unto the Lord. I am one spirit with him. I'm joined unto the Lord. I am one spirit with him. I am joined unto the Lord. I am one spirit. Kerabosusofie mom prodogodosu. Keraba prano godosu sofievede keburo pushigebete. Pa prodogodoso minke koroboturo bieke dese eno kofie kaboshu yeka bahana dasike igia agosofenekede. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm joined. I'm one with him. So there's a craving. There's a craving. He, you know, that's. He said, I'll put a new spirit within you so you have a new spirit. But what kind of spirit is it? It's a spirit of sonship. That spirit is crying, Abba, Father. That spirit is yearning. James chapter 4. You know, friendship with the world is enmity with God. All right, so James 4, we could pick it from verse 1. James 4, verse 1. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Where do wars and fights come from? Do they not come from your desires, from pleasures that war in your members? Okay, so we're going down. You lust and you do not have. You murder, covet, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Okay, verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you might spend it on your pleasures. Verse 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I want you to follow this verse, please. Follow it well. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Please notice, stay with this, because you'll be amazed what adulterers and adulteresses are in this context. Verse 5. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in you yearns jealously? Did you get that now? Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns? So he put a spirit in us crying, Abba, Father, intimacy, fellowship. So the spirit in you is yearning jealously for what? Fellowship. So he now says friendship with the world is enmity with God. So the adulterer, adulteress is talking about there is not human adultery. He's saying that corruption with the world, that wanting to get satisfaction from the world, that should come from God. Adulterous, thanks. Adulterous, adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is any? So he's talking about adultery with the world, not adultery. Adulterous, do you not know that friendship with the world is enemies with God? Whoever makes himself a friend of the world, and an enemy of God. NLT-TPT. One of them says it in a way I'm looking for. NLT-TPT. Could do one before the other. Thank you, Lord. All right. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. And you want to be a friend. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. So you're talking about world and God. Next verse, please. Verse 5. All right. Thank you, Lord. What do you think the scriptures mean when they say that the spirit God has placed within you, the spirit God has placed within us is filled with envy? Envy for what? Fellowship is craving. I want more. So the spirit is crying, I want more of you. Not we singing to God because it's worship time in church. The spirit is saying, I need you. Don't get to connect that to the world. In an unconsciously, the people we even roll with, who even tell us how to behave and all of that, they are more connected to the world and we're trying to get advice from them. Some of you don't even mind, sometimes, you know, Christians don't even mind getting advices from people who you know that their prayer life or spiritual life is not okay. And then they are the ones advising you. No, the spirit within you is saying there's more. Let's explore. Let's go for more. TPT. Let's see TPT. Verses 4 and 5. Glory to God. The spirit in us is yearning for more. Why? What point are we hung on right now? I have a new spirit. See what TBT says. You have become spiritual. That's it. I knew one of them said, you have become spiritual adulterers who are having an affair, an unholy relationship with the world. Don't you know that flirting with the world's values places you at odds with God? Whoever chooses to be the world's friend makes himself an enemy of God. So the adulterer, adulteress is talking about here is you're now drawing satisfaction from the world. You're trying to be like the world, sound like the world, talk like, and you're just drawing. And then the spirit in you is saying, no, this is not us. This is not us. We have a different set of rules. We have a different life and nature. Because what we want to now understand with liberty is misbehavior. Christian liberty is not misbehavior. Christian liberty is the fact that the world cannot hold you. Nothing can bind you. You now operate at a higher divine level. where things, things don't bind you. There's no covetousness. You're not bound. You're not bound by the law, especially. And we might touch that in the next few minutes, or, you know, so much still left on this plate for tomorrow. All right. So next verse. All right. Verse 5. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Does the scripture mean nothing to you? See the language here. Does the scripture mean nothing to you that says the spirit that God breathed into our hearts is a jealous lover who intensely desires to have more and more of us? So like I said earlier, we sing, I want more of you, spirit saying, no, I want more of you. I want more. This way you get angry and do, oh, yo, I want more. I want more. I want more. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The spirit, I have a new spirit. It's an intimate spirit. And I'm called to live with it from within. I'm called to live from inside out. How do I know who to marry? I should know from within. How do I know what to do? It's from within. How do I know what's right or wrong? It's from within, not with the seeing on my eye, not with the hearing on my ear. Yes, you know what you heard. Yes, you know what you saw. But the best way to know what to do is from within. Glory to God. From within. That life on the inside. Hallelujah. Let me know if this is blessing you. Feel free to drop a comment. I trust you're jotting. I trust you're taking notes. And hey, there's a spirit yearning. You know, when we make decisions and then we make blunder. I mean, I can't tell exactly how the Holy Ghost is, you know, but the spirit in you is, I have all the answers you need. You didn't have to go through this. I have all the answers you need. That thing didn't have to happen to you. That guy didn't have to break your heart. That lady didn't have to hurt you. You didn't have to be disappointed by those people and say, oh, they are close friends. It hurt me. No, if only you had just rolled with me more, I would have saved you from all of that. Oh, carabon pre no go do sofie ke de ke doso me ne ke de se. And the corrupt sugar. It was Jesus that told Peter, Peter, you will deny me. Peter said, no way. I'd even give my life and die with you. Jesus said, before the cock crows 3 times, bro, you deny me. That's intimacy with the spirit. You know, we get to be bitter. We get to be disappointed. We walk in unforgiveness. He said, you could have rolled with me. You would have rolled with me. I would have saved you from all of that stuff. Let's roll with him. Let's roll. Koraba prada gashi gebe de gede gebo shi gebe de debe. E gabarada bo shi gebe de gebe shi gebe de debo sha. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes. You'll be able to watch this again by Tuesday, usually latest Wednesday. You'll get an email with the link to the audio and the video recordings. You will get this. Yeah, I mean, and past videos on my YouTube channel, Lyrexionals. Yeah, so, all right, I'm already sounding like it's announcement time. It will be soon. Woo, glory to God. You've got a different set of rules. Let's run to Hebrews 8 and see what we can touch before we close today. Hebrews 8. I'd want us to do like Romans, like the whole of 3, maybe and 4. But I know that next month's the next edition will touch a bit of that. Hebrews 8, we'll pick it from verse 6. Hebrews 8, verse 6. Glory to God. You have a different set of rules. Different set. You have a different, because it put a new spirit in you, all right? It put a new spirit in you. Put a new spirit in you. And he said, I'll cause you to walk in my status. Something is different. But now, talking about Jesus, he has obtained a more, Can we pick from 4? There's a lot to say, bro. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Watch this. Talking about Jesus. If he were on earth, that's Jesus, right? He would not be a priest. Sound like, really? Yeah. Because Jesus wasn't from the house of Levi directly. Hope you understand that. So if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Now, John the Baptist was Levi, all right? Jesus wasn't Levi, okay? Are you with me? Now, verse 5. who serve. These priests serve the copy and the shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown unto you in the mountain. I'm sure you remember first, you know, Peter chapter 2, verse 9, for we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. But we play around with the royal priesthood, but something new happened to you guys. You didn't have a business with the priesthood. Jesus didn't have a business with the priesthood, but he became the priest after the order of Melchizedek, not from Levi. So Jesus was a priest outside the Levitical priesthood, and you in Christ become a priest. So something new. You have an access that the average priest never had. And you have an access that an average Jew never had. So something new. There's a new office about you. Okay? So, but we'll push all of that to tomorrow. I just have a few minutes to round up today. I trust you've been blessed. All right? Yeah, verse 6. We could go to 6 and just read down. Let's just read from 6 down to the end. All right, it says, watch this. But now Jesus has obtained a more excellent ministry, in as much as he's the mediator, all right, in as much as he's also a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. A better covenant, better promises. So what's new about the new creation? New covenant. I know that you need to know it well, like seriously well, or I'll build up on that from tomorrow. What's new about the new creation? He has a new covenant. What's new about the new Christian? He has a new covenant. I know you know. You need to hear it. What's new about the new Christian? He has a new covenant. So he has a new heart. He has a new spirit. His slate is clean. He has a new slate. All right? You don't get born again. And God says, aha. So yeah. Well, you're welcome. Right? Welcome to the family. Yeah. So where were we? So 3 days ago, you did. No, God's not like picking it up from where you stopped. You're brand new. New slate. Welcome to the family. Everybody's going, woo, we got a newborn in this place. We got a newborn. You go, don't they remember what I did? There's no record. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. No more. Did you get that? No more. And it's a perfect sign language. I'm just trying to display something. All right. Wipe. Wipe. All right. God is not suffering from forgetfulness, okay? But by love. Your sins and iniquities, he remembers no more. So when you appear before him, a new creature in Christ, that's all he sees, bro. In Christ, that's all he sees, my sister. He sees you in Christ. You're brand new. A new nature. Righteousness, we've touched that. We've touched that before. So I'm not quick to touch that in today's edition. We'll still touch it tomorrow. And then we'll build up on this thing. But you're new. But you got a new covenant. In you having a new covenant, you don't have the old covenant. You can go to the old covenant to understand the terms and conditions and see what you could learn from it, which Paul admonishes us to do, but that's not your contract. All right? I'm using the word contract intentionally. You have to go and see, oh, there was an old covenant. There is a new covenant. There is a difference. All right, let's get back to the scriptures. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But now we obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he's also a mediator of a better covenant, established upon, so your covenant, what's new about you? New covenant. What big deal? It's a better one. Established upon. So you can't talk to God the way Moses would. Oh God, if you don't go with me, you know, what was that thing again? If your presence will not go with us, you will not depart from his place. Now, application for me, for the New Testament guy, new creation should be, if I'm not led to do that, I won't do that. It means God is not actively involved in it. All right? So I could pick that. But don't say, oh God, you know, we're leaving this place. Go with us right now. As we go with us. No. He's always with you. He's always in you. So there's go with us. He's always there. Don't you know you're the temple of God? But see the other side now. There are times you want to take a move and you just know God is saying, I'm not involved. Then don't go. Be led. Is that all right? You have a better covenant established upon better promise. So you have a better, so two covenants. One is better. The one you have, your new covenant is better. And then it has better promises. You've got to go to the word to find what the better promises are. So there's something better about this covenant. You can't keep peeping into the old. I'm like, those guys had a lot of fun, bro. They had a lot of fun, man. They got a lot of miracles, man. But say something's better about us. So let's dig in. Let's dig in and find what's better, okay? let's see. Let's just try to get to the end and wrap it up there. But we can just have a few minutes. Glory to God. If, watch this now. If that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for the second. There would be no need for a second. If the first one was just okay, perfect, it was, then there's no need for a second covenant, all right? Let's move on. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, and I like this, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. All right, this includes you too, right? So new, what's new about you? New covenant. I will make a new covenant. All right, verse 9, we're going down to 13. Well, the end anyway. All right. Not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the days when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant and I disregarded them, says the Lord. Verse 10. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. So I'm not going to write on tables of stone. Their hearts. It's not 10 commandments anymore. It's a commandment of love and light and life. All right. Verse 11 now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none would say to his brother, know the Lord. I love this. For they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. Ooh, this is deep, solid stuff. All right. Verse 12 now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. For I will be merciful to the unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds will I remember no more. God says, I'm gone. For God, don't you know, there's one person who will try to remind you, and that's the devil. The other person will be you. You know, we find it hard sometimes to just forgive ourselves. Right, I do that thing. And then people don't forgive us too easily, all right? But God, your Father, says your sins and lawless deeds, gone. I remember them no more, all right? Now the 13th verse, glory to God. Verse 13, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Watch this. In that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete? Now, what is becoming obsolete is growing old and ready to vanish away. So he says the old covenant is obsolete. So you find the church trying to hog what's obsolete, hold on to what's obsolete. God says it's obsolete, ready to vanish away. But you have a new covenant. What's new about you? You have a new heart. You have a new nature. You have a new spirit. You have a newness of life. You have a new covenant. And we're not just trying to play with new. There's a revelation with all of this. You have a new covenant. It's a better covenant with better promises. It's just something awesomely, gloriously new about you, about the covenant, about all that you have received in Christ. There's something new about it. Look, I'm a new man. I'm altogether new. Can we say for 1 minute, Christ is my life. Hallelujah. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. He is my life. He is my life. Christ is my life. He's my totality. He's my essence. He's my definition. He's my identity. He's my sustenance. He's my health. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. He's my identity. He's my completeness. He's my definition. He's my life. He's my perspective through whom I see, by whom I see. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. He is my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Christ is my life. Thank you, dear Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Wow. Wow. Thank you, dear Jesus. 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 Amen. All right. We got to close. I trust you've had a great time. It's great to be here. Like I get to say, there's always so much to cover. Always so much. We got so much to cover. The video will be available Tuesday, latest Wednesday. You will get it. Please look forward to it. If by Wednesday you do not see the email, please check your junk mail, spam mail. Just please run through your promotions, everything. Just run through your inbox because it will be there. All right? We'll work towards you getting it on Tuesday. Possibly go to Monday, but latest Tuesday, please. Well, run through. If by Wednesday you can't find it, it should be there somewhere. Because I've had cases where people, you know, had to go check again and then find, oh, we saw it, you know, something, you know. So, hallelujah, praise God. So, hey, and feel free, share this video with people, let them get blessed. Word Up remains free. It is free to sign in. It's my pleasure and the team, you know, I'm privileged to have work with me. It's our pleasure to be a blessing to you. If you want to give, you could go to the website, all right, LarryRexonosia.com, and there's a giving page there. Feel free, just be a blessing. Be a blessing, all right? You know, but no pressures. You know, feel free to be a blessing once you, as you're led to, and, you know, hey, be a blessing. All right, but please, tomorrow, you could bring in more people. Let them come in and let them come get blessed. And I will see you, all right? It's 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. my time. All right, so see you whatever time zone you might be in. Love you and have a very, very beautiful morning, evening. I know someone is in Korea. It's early morning her time. All right, so let's just have a very beautiful rest of the day. All right, so peace. See ya tomorrow and bye-bye. Thanks.